Welcome to AM News.
Morning, thank you very much.
Now, Doctor, today is D-Day to pay the ransom for the school teacher that is held in Yemen. How far are the negotiations?
We've basically come to a standstill. Last week, right up till Tuesday, we had intense negotiations, and it was 3 hours a day, 3 hours twice a day, several times in a day. And the mood was good right up till Tuesday night. But on Monday night, it started changing, because when Anas, my office manager, walked in on Monday night, mm-hmm. the emphasis was, where's the money? The $3 million on Monday night. And on Tuesday, when they realized that we don't have the money, on Wednesday, there was only one phone call. On Thursday, there's one phone call. So from like almost 6 hours of talk a day, it's gone to 3 minutes on Wednesday and Thursday and nothing today. They're now not answering the phone at all. You know, so it, because we knew from the beginning, there is no way anybody can raise $3 million. Who put that in the head that you can raise that kind of money? I don't know. But we made it emphatically clear that there's no way. In fact, we told him even $3,000 is a very difficult money to raise to give to you.
Mm. Now, Doctor, the family of the gift of the givers have requested assistance from the public.
Sorry, you mean the family of the caucus?
Yes, the family of the caucus have requested assistance from the public in the form of donations. How's the public's reaction to that? And if you can tell us how much money has been raised thus far?
I'm not involved with that because we don't get involved with ransom money. Mm-hmm. We are only facilitators to help get Pierre and Yolande out of Yemen. Mm-hmm. The fundraising campaign is being handled by the family, but I know too, they haven't been pursuing that very aggressively mm-hmm. because nobody's in his right frame of mind to be focusing on that at this moment of time. Mm-hmm. Today is the day, it may be the day of execution, we don't know. And you can only understand what's going on to the mind of Yolande and her children. They must be devastated, everybody must be praying. Nobody's concentrating on doing any activity besides praying for now.
Mm-hmm. And you've just mentioned the question that I was going to ask, Doctor, as to how the family is dealing with this. Now, let's talk about Yolande. She was released last week. Are you able to take us through the process of her release, Doctor?
It started 9 months ago. When Anas, my office manager, heard that they were kidnapped in Yemen, and he asked, can we do something? To cut a long story short, he went all over Yemen, left his number, announced to media, saying we are here as a South African NGO, we work in the country, we do work, people have captured South African people, you know, South Africa is helping us, please let's talk. 6th January, Monday, they called him. Up to that stage, we didn't know who they were. Were they just ordinary criminals? Were they some kind of group? Who were they? We didn't know that. Mm. They said, you're looking for us? Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock, meet us at a certain place. When he went there, they told him that morning, we are Al-Qaeda. You know, so I said, did they have masks on? He said, no. I said, then aren't you afraid for your security? You saw their faces?
Absolutely.
He says, no, they're not worried about all that because they're not afraid of anybody.
Wow.
So they're not even afraid if you saw their face.
Wow.
So there's not an issue for them.
Mm.
So I said, focus on building trust with them, which he did. And eventually, with continuous negotiations, we managed. They had faith, they trusted him, he kept his word, he was always on time. Whatever they told him to do, he did. And because of that process, on Friday morning, of course, he showed them all the work we did in the country. Now, can you imagine Al-Qaeda operatives sitting around the table and say, okay, let's look at the pictures of what you did in Yemen.
Absolutely,
and they did
yes.
that. And they said, okay, there's a possibility of, yeah, maybe we can talk to the boys on the top and see what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, on Friday morning at 6 a.m., as they promised, they delivered Yolande to him free of charge. But that's where the problem started. They said, we've given you Yolande hand to hand, free of charge. Remember, for Pierre, you have 8 days, we need $3 million, or you know what we're capable of. We already know at that time it's a lost cause. There's no way we can raise $3 million now in the next 10 years. And we made it clear to them mm-hmm. from every discussion that the time, and more the time, the money is a big problem. Because even if they give us more time, mm-hmm. we're not going to raise that kind of money. And we tried to emphasize that over and over again. And we knew the only thing to do was not about only extension of time, but to try to talk them out of asking for a ransom.
Doctor, what during these negotiations, what is the Al-Qaeda group saying is their main reason for kidnapping the couple?
They said they thought they were American. So we showed them passport copies and we said, they're not American.
Mm-hmm.
So now since they're not American,
release
you got the wrong
them.
People, let them go. And they said no. So then we're starting to think, is the policy about Americans or is it a policy about money? We don't know the difference. What is mm-hmm. your policy? We don't know. And we asked them that. You know, it was very frank discussions with them.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, let's talk about the level of involvement, if any, by the South African government.
I spoke to them in May last year, but government has a problem. Any government has a problem. They have a standard policy that they don't negotiate with hostages.
Absolutely.
About the hostage takers, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So if nobody talks to them, then who's going to facilitate for the release of the hostages? It's an issue. Like for the Russian hostages, in 2009, nobody spoke to them. So they executed them. They killed three Russian nurses mm-hmm. because nobody spoke to them. And we said, we understand the government's point, because you do it once, then they'll keep kidnapping people and you'll have to keep talking to them and you'll have to keep paying money. So we understand that point of view. The other problem South Africa has, it doesn't have an embassy in Yemen. So when you don't have diplomatic representation, it becomes so much more
difficult.
So you understand the problem. But because we have an office there, we have a track record, we have a relationship with the government, the clans, the people on the ground, everybody. So we worked with the ambassador from Saudi Arabia. He came to our office together, you know, there's communication all the time.
That's the question I want to raise, Doctor. You're a humanitarian aid. Why get involved with this kind of negotiation?
Because nobody else is going to do it. And we are in Yemen, and our policy is do good. It doesn't say do good, but don't do it in a hostage situation. Don't do it if there's a bank robber. Don't do it, yeah.
So you have no jurisdiction in terms of doing good.
There's religious law. There's no jurisdiction of doing good. It's unconditional. And wherever you can, and we knew. And the reality is we proved it. We got one person out.
Now, Doctor, what else can you tell us at this point about this whole hostage situation? Should we have any hope?
I always have hope. I always have gone, because at the end of the day, neither me nor Anas, nobody in the world could take Yolande out. That's only God's grace. Because my spiritual teacher said that whatever is done through you and not by you. So we don't take any responsibility of taking Yolande out, or even for that matter, taking Pierre out if he's released, and we hope he's released. It's in God's grace, it's God's hands. Even Yolande knows that. She says, look, at the end of the day, my husband's life is in God's hands. Whatever happens, happens. We have to do the human things here and try the human mechanisms and use your intellect and what God has given you to talk, to negotiate. And we're still hoping that somebody will see some reason and some rationale, and hopefully that Pierre will still be back with us alive without having to pay anything.
Have you, as the gift of the givers, Doctor, appealed to international media to try and, you know, create awareness around this whole issue, to try and get aid from international bodies as well?
Again, we're not pushing the idea of aid. We're pushing the idea of dialogue. Because the moment you push idea for aid, they think, oh, they're collecting money,
keeping
the guy for another 6 months. The other problem is Pierre is sick. How long more can he withstand being in detention?
How long has he been there, Doctor?
Nine months. If he gets complicated, he's already got disease. If he gets complicated, he may die in detention. So the longer you negotiate for extension of time, he may die before you take him out. So we have that thing to balance too. So we need him out as fast as possible without paying money. So the international media was used, we got the help, you know, to announce to the world, and not as gift of the givers can't do it, because it doesn't concern us. It concerns Yolande and her family. So she made an international appeal yesterday to, for some reason, please, can you release my husband? You know, he's an innocent man. He's from Africa. He didn't do anything to you. We came to serve your country. On those basis, compassion. Somebody, we're hoping, may look at that and say, you know what? Let me look into this. What's going on? By God's grace, let him go.
Thank you so much, Doctor, for talking to us today, and good luck with the whole situation. That was Dr. Imitia Suleiman, founder and CEO of the NGO Gift of the Givers.